Jakari Patterson making the big play to preserve the dub as Southern beats Western Illinois in overtime 31-30 on Saturday. Guy's got to be feeling pretty happy about that play. Joins us now in the doghouse, Saluki defensive coordinator Jason Petrino. Welcome to In the Doghouse, Coach, and congrats on the Western win.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate you guys having me on. And, you know, just on Jakari, we wouldn't need him to make that play if he would have made the tackle the play before. Missed the tackle as they went for a touchdown. So, but no, I was happy to see Jakari make that last play for sure.
We were talking a game like this, even if you won by two touchdowns, there's enough in this film that the coaches can pick through, and you can have quite a long film session about this one. A lot of things to clean up. You got the W. You're happy about the W, but you can still get better off a game like this.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, obviously, it's not going to get easier as we go forward here. And so it's important for our guys to see the film, identify where, you know, mistakes were made, whether it was mental or physical, and get those things cleaned up. As coaches, obviously, we got to focus on those as we turn the page and get ready for the next one.
Stats say you did the job, at least in the first half, maybe three quarters, against Connor Sampson before he showed up and proved that he's the player that you originally scouted. Now, I'm looking at stats. What stats or what metrics are you and you as a staff looking at to grade players on a game like this?
You know, there's a saying out there that's, you know, for stats and then with people that dive into stats. But me, the only thing I look at third down and takeaways. Are we getting stops on those third downs? And are we getting takeaways? Those are the two things that I really focus our attention on. We know in this league, especially going up against somebody like Connor, you're going to give up yards. It's are you getting stops on third down when you can? And then the next thing we talk about is, you know, explosive plays for touchdowns versus explosive plays. You're going to give up big plays. They've got scholarships. They've got coaches. They've got good players. It's the plays where they hurt you if you're missing a tackle that leads to an explosive run for a touchdown, like, you know, the when they scored the touchdown in overtime, if it's a broken, busted coverage, or now they're getting a big play and scoring a touchdown on. But that's the important thing. Is don't limit the explosive plays for touchdowns, you know, third down stops, and then takeaways.
Coach, this is Mike Murphy. I was going to ask you about the weird start to the game with the lightning delay, and then you get started, and then SA got out to the big lead. Does that, I mean, I know you've got your defensive game plan, but you make adjustments. What kind of adjustments were you making there? Because then they started to come back on you, and you've got some experienced players out there. That has to help with those guys that are super seniors.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, an awkward start. It just was. You just felt it in the air. It was really humid, and you kind of felt something was coming. But we told our guys, I mean, Coach Hill does a great job getting our guys prepared, understanding what the Saturday's going to look like, and just say, hey, we got to be prepared for this. And it just so happened that it happened. So we had talked about it throughout the week, and I don't think that was the shock. It was just like, you know, they always say 30 minutes, but you always know there's going to be another lightning strike somewhere. It's going to be another 30 minutes, but they stayed on to it. We went out there and got ourselves going, and then, you know, as the game went on, they found some things, you know, late in the game for sure. They got some momentum and, you know, definitely felt like they had us, you know, I don't blame them, go for two and try to take it right there. But we needed to, we said that the whole second half, we need one more stop, find a way our offense was going to score. And, you know, we just missed the field goal. And then you get a chance in overtime and they score on the first play. Again, we just needed one more stop and they scored, but we still just needed one more stop and we finally got the stop in overtime on the two-point conversion. So,
talking to Saluki defensive coordinator Jason Petrino, on that double pass play, is that something you can practice for, or does just the basic technique kind of have to take over on a play like that?
Yeah, instincts a little bit. I mean, we had seen something before in 2019. They did it, and, you know, they threw it out there, and then we weren't ready for it in 2019 at all. Kind of, and they scored a touchdown on it. And then, but we talked about it throughout the week. We were prepared for it, and they just had something dialed up a little bit better. I mean, a lot of times as an offense, you're going to put time in to execute some trick plays and have a plan. And they guessed right. You know, we just asked our guys to play hard, get a line, play hard, and we attacked the ball. And then, you know, it just took one person to just kind of hesitate, and then they got behind us. But we were not thinking the double pass on that play at all. And like I said, sometimes you get. If you're playing hard, you can work through mistakes, and we played hard that play. It's just that they guessed right, and disappointing, but at the same time, one we can grow and learn from.
And in overtime, Southern hasn't been in an overtime game since 2015. I don't know where you were in 2015. How much goes out the window in an overtime situation like that? Is it just basically read and react at that point, or can you have a mini game plan for if this thing goes into OT and it's on the 25?
Well, we talked to the defensive staff, and I probably was at fault on that first play. I was like, okay, hey, back to base defense, you know, base thoughts. I mean, we scored a touchdown. We said, hey, they're gonna need every, you know, they're gonna go four plays. It's not gonna be get a stop on third down. We knew it was gonna be four plays. You know, if you can get them backed up, and you know, I probably didn't have a great initial call on that first down. I was pretty conservative, like, hey, let's knock it down, thinking they would try to get the ball out in the perimeter, and we had to tackle it. They ran a little counter play up the middle, and you know, like I said, they had the right call, and I could have definitely. I need to put us in a better call in that situation because I said it to the staff. I said it to myself. Okay, hey, first down, start of the game thoughts. What is it they're going to do here? And I made a call, and I got to be better, and I will be better. And but at the same time, we had opportunities, a couple guys there to make a tackle, whether it would be second and short and things like that, and then you know, battle back, try to get them into third down, But it really is like reset it. When what were they doing well, especially there late when they were getting some momentum and they were running the ball a little bit better, a little more effectively than they had tried in the first half for sure.
Wanted to ask you, Coach, about some of the individual players because you've got some standouts like Quay Brown and people are talking about, well, SIU kind of makes a big impact in the secondary, defensive secondary in the NFL. Is Brown good enough? I mean, do you think he's got a shot? Is he a chin? Is he a, you know, some of the other guys that are playing in there with the Seahawks and people like that? I mean, he's tied for 30th in total tackles. He's a game changer. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of Quay Brown.
Yeah, just first, he's a great person. You know, you talk about chin and just good of a player was a better person. And Quay is too. I mean, Quay, he cares about the process, you know. He's talented, but he also works to become even more talented. And he does the film study. He does the things in the necessary, getting his body right, getting the rest he needs in the weight room. And then the thing about it, too, it's like he's one of our best practice players. And I'll continue to say this. If you're a guy that's going to give great effort in practice, it's going to, you know, show up positively in games. And he's definitely one of those guys. And I'm obviously rooting for Quay, and I want to see him make it. I think he's got a chance, too, for sure. There's not a lot of, you know, thing that we ask a lot of Quay within the defense, and we ask him to do a lot of things, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for our team. He's played a lot of different positions, especially, you know, in the spring season and now, and feels very, very comfortable with the football knowledge that he's attained and gotten to put himself to be a playmaker in whatever spot he's out there at, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for the team. And like I said, I'd be shocked if he doesn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, that now the pros are kind of looking at SIU because of the people that have come before, and they're kind of looking to see who's next.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, happy for Quay, happy for other guys in our program as well to get that opportunity. And obviously there's other players just on the secondary. You feel strongly about getting opportunities to play at that next level too.
Talking to Saluki DC, Jason Petrino, South Dakota State, coming up this Saturday, third time we've seen them in a calendar year. There'll be a few different faces out there. We went up to chase Mark Gronowski around on Saturday, but their quarterback, Chris Oladokun, the Samford transfer, he's a dual threat kind of guy. What can we expect from him coming up on Saturday?
Well, like I said, you put their offensive film on in the spring and you put it on now this fall, and there's not a lot of difference in terms of, you know, structurally what they're doing. They've got an unbelievable offensive line. They've got big physical tight ends. Pierre Strong is back healthy. He was, like, when we played him the first time, he didn't play against us the week before, and then even in the playoffs wasn't saying, but he's back to his normal self. You know, he might be the best running back in FCS, just doing some phenomenal things with the ball in his hands. And they're coached well, and they're well prepared. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous challenge. On the perimeter, you got the twins that do a phenomenal job of stretching you vertical. So if you try to load the box, they've got a chance to get over top. But like I said, other than the quarterback, they're the same team that played the national championship. So they're doing a great job, and it'll be a tremendous challenge for our guys.
Talking about the Yankee brothers, and when you're playing South Dakota State, you know that the tight end is going to be a factor in the offense.
Yeah, and they play three of them, and they got three good ones. And, you know, their tight ends, I think, are number one and number three in receptions, I want to say, right now. And so they're definitely getting them the ball, and they're doing some good things with it and challenge you, you know, with matchups and things like that.
You mentioned earlier about playing like you practice. Is this defense now getting to that point where they look more on game day like they are in practice?
We sure emphasize it, you know, on a daily basis. It goes back to, you know, I've never been a theory on a gamer. You know, I feel like you got to prepare throughout the week, whether that's mentally, physically, but then in your practice reps, your fundamental focus, things like that. They show up, and like I said, if you cheat the game during the week, you're going to get exposed on Saturdays. So it's something that we definitely emphasize as a defensive staff for sure. Making sure guys, whether it's, you know, we can't tackle, you know, during the week, and that's the hardest part, but you can be in a good position. We call it finish position. Hey, make sure you're in finish position around the football, and those are the things that we emphasize, whether it's leverage, body position, or clearing a block, whatever it is, just constantly emphasizing that with our players.
You talk about gamers. See, that's why me and Murph are, you know, doing radio for a living and not, you know, playing and, you know, resting on our retirement laurels in the NFL, because we were gamers. You know, we showed up on game day and, you know, we were the MVP
practice
on game day. But
practice?
You talking about practice?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Go run some laps, guy. All right. But talking to Jason Petrino, it's been fun to watch this defense evolve, or at least it seems like it's an evolution. And obviously there's a lot of work to do, but, you know, we've got some newcomers that seems like every week, you know, we learn a little more about what a guy like Kevin Gleichen can do, the San Diego transfer, and obviously he had a pec injury. What's Kevin's status coming up for this Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, today's a day off, and you kind of hear things a little bit, but I don't know. I'll have a better idea when we get together in the morning where he's at. I know, you know, he met with the doctors on Thursday and things like that. But we'll see. Like I said, I wish I had some more information on Kevin. Obviously, we missed him. He's been impressive in those first three games and the things that he's able to do for our defense. I should say the first four games. But it's been an unbelievable. Again, it goes back to a guy that's mature, prepares, cares about, you know, the process, not just Saturdays. And enjoys that process just as much. And I think as he learns our defense and we really learn Kevin and what he can do, put him in some situations where hopefully he can be more successful, and hopefully his success means our success.
Yeah, Kevin's a newbie to the program, but guys like, talk about the evolution of this defense, guys like P.J. Jules, we're getting to know a little more about what he can contribute each and every week. Colby Coleman's name popping up on the stat sheet a few more times this past weekend. Obviously, David Miller, the Navy transfer, getting to know him a little more, filling in for James Caesar. Seems like Giannotti Belizari is making plays.
You just like to say his name.
I love saying his name, but I mean, I want to say he had a hurry in that game tying drive for Western. He could have easily ended the game on Saturday before it went to OT. There's real depth there, and it's always been there, but we're just now finding out about a lot of these guys.
And don't leave out my guy Bryce Notre. I mean,
we know about Bryce.
Yeah,
know about him.
Well, you just got to mention him because that's part of his deal. You mention him on every In the Doghouse, or he comes hunting us down.
Well, and then Mikel Calhoun, we got to get Mikel Calhoun because he balled out.
Oh yeah,
on Saturday.
Sure,
so we got to get him on.
But you know, Coach, with Notre, I mean, that's a guy that you don't have to worry about being ready to go, right? I mean, he was born, the doctor slapped him, he slapped the doctor back, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's a fun one to be around. And that, you know, there's a group of them. You just named off a dumb bunch of kids. And it's like, you know, that makes the work enjoyable. And being around these guys and them allowing us to coach them the way and ask them to do the things we're doing. And like I said, it's impressive the type of people are, the commitment that they have to Coach Hill and the program, and the success that they want to have. And, you know, some of those super seniors, you say, you know, as they came in and as they're walking out, they want to make sure that this place not just has success, but it's long-term success. And so they're setting a great standard for those underclassmen in terms of what they see on a daily basis.
This game on Saturday against the Jackrabbits, is it oversimplifying it to say red zone and takeaways? Is those two things you really circle, all things being equal?
Yeah, tackling. I mean, obviously, defensively, it's always going to be about tackling. When we went up there in 2019, Pierre had a couple of long runs for touchdowns, and that kind of got him going, you know. And so that's the thing that we've got to make sure we can control the line of scrimmage as best as we can, and then really try to disrupt Pierre and try to bottle him up as much as we can so that he doesn't have those clear paths. And then we've got to, you know, we know they're going to take their shots, and we've got to be sure we're playable, in position and playable. And if we're that, then we'll give ourselves a chance. But if we're out of position and we're running in late and getting PIs, that's when we're in trouble.
Well, I always like our chances, and we'll see what happens coming up this Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff in Brookings, South Dakota. And maybe the third time won't be a charm for South Dakota State. We get out of there with the W, and that would have a seismic impact, not only the Valley standings, but also nationwide.
Yep.
You know, it's number two versus as high as number five I've seen in some polls, 8-1, 7-another. But, hey, it's two of the best teams in the Valley, and we'll see who comes out on top this Saturday. Saluki defensive coordinator Jason Petrino. Jason, thanks for joining us here on In the Doghouse, and best of luck this Saturday against South Dakota State.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Coach.